O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. Lord Balaram ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2. Ajamil delivered by the Vishnadutas, text 16. You might wonder why Lord Balaram is not appearing on the verse and it's another chapter of Lord Balaram's pastimes, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very powerful statement about taking shelter of Lord Balaram. So, and also a short description of the pastime of Lord Balaram. So, I thought this verse could be very nice and the text is also very powerful. Gurunam cha lagunam cha.
Gurunam cha lagunam cha.
Guruni cha laguni cha.
Guruni cha laguni cha.
Prayaschitani apanam.
Prayaschitani apanam.
Yadbhoktani maharshivi.
Yadbhoktani maharshivi.
Gurunam cha lagunam cha.
Gurunam cha lagunam cha. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place on Samba, was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Sambha fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhana, and since, according to Kshatriya custom, one is not offered a Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays his chivalrous valor, Sambha abducted her. Consequently, Sambha was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Sambha's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled, and Sambha married Duryodhana's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reaction of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayan. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanatinashalabhya Shakshuri Militam Yadatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. It's a very powerful verse which describes the potency of taking shelter of Lord Balaram. And I'll keep my presentation very brief because we have two other very distinguished speakers who will speak more on Lord Balaram's position, pastimes, personality, etc. So my thought was that in the same way that we pray to Srimati Radharani to engage us in Krishna's service, every day when we come to the temple we're praying to Srimati Radharani, or we should pray to Srimati Radharani to engage us in Krishna's service and bestow upon us devotion and love for Krishna, in the same way we should pray to Lord Balaram to give us, to protect us and give us the strength, the courage, the determination, the intelligence, the courage and love and tolerance, all the good qualities that we need in order to be able to render that service. Because it is described in the scripture that Lord Balaram is the protector of the devotees. So we need his protection and for this, to give us this, to help us in these things. And also to protect us from the negative elements like lust, anger, greed that are within us. In the pastime of Lord Balaram, we see a lot of the enemies within, without, that all the enemies are outside, and there's a lot of fighting going on, but for us, all these battles are going mostly within. We're constantly fighting all these elements like lust and anger and jealousy, envy and fear and so many bad qualities that are hovering over our hearts and minds. So we need the strength and all these qualities that Lord Balaram gives us. Because Balaram is explained that he's the guru. He's the internal guru in the form of Paramatma, and he's also the external guru that gives us shelter by giving us guidance and helping us in our devotional path. So it's also mentioned in the scriptures that Lord Balaram is the mercy incarnation of Krishna. So that is another description of Lord Balaram, that is the mercy incarnation, because it's giving so much shelter to all the living entities and helping them spiritually to make progress. So we know that Lord Balaram's, one of his main activities is to support and enrich and assist Lord Krishna in his pastimes. So we see that Lord Balaram is throughout his whole life assisting Lord Krishna in all his pastimes, whether it's in Vrindavan, going to the forest to take care of the cows and kill the demons and play with his cowherd boyfriends. Then Balaram is constantly assisting and participating in Krishna's pastimes. And in the same way, when Krishna lives in Dwarka, then Lord Balaram is very close in assisting and participating in Krishna's pastimes. And we have many, many different stories where Lord Balaram is very active. And so we have many pastimes throughout Krishna book in which Lord Balaram plays a very important role. And, you know, Krishna is, we don't We don't see Krishna directly. We see more Lord Balaram's taking a lead role in the pastimes. Like, for example, in killing certain demons. Maybe some of you know. So who were the demons that Lord Balaram took care of? Pranambaya. Who? Divida, the gorilla. I also heard Denukasura, was killed by Balaram. Any other demons that were taken care of by Balaram instead of Krishna? I don't know if he would be considered a demon, but he definitely has some mistake in his approach. So then there's of course many nice pastimes of Lord Balaram described in Krishna book, like when he goes to Vrindavan and he meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and when he goes on pilgrimage because he didn't want to take part in the whole struggle between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and he knew that Krishna had a very strong position in this regard, so he took a side from Krishna's pastimes and went on traveling pilgrimage. So these are wonderful descriptions of Lord Balaram also there. So this is what I just wanted to introduce a little bit, Lord Balaram's position, which is unique. He plays a very important role in that he's, of course, guiding us within. He's also guiding us through his spiritual master. He's the protector of the devotees, and he helps us in our fight against all these demonic elements that we have within. So we should really, really try hard to pray to Lord Balaram as much as we can to ask for protection and help. And he has the strength, he has the determination, and he can share it with us, give us a little bit of that power and strength to overcome our personal demons, our own demons. And he can also help our society if we pray to him to enlighten us to go in the right way and overcome many obstacles and problems that we face and we have faced in the past. So Balaram is really somebody we can pray for help and for protection in order to be able to serve Krishna properly. And he's very merciful, as I mentioned before, he's a mercy incarnation of the Lord. So he's very merciful. Of course, we know a lot about Lord Nityananda, who's also Balaram, and he was the most merciful. So we should really take shelter in Lord Balaram today and every other day also. He's here every day to listen to our prayers and receive our offerings of devotion. So, you know, we should really remember Lord Balaram constantly. His power is unmatched. There's no demon or there's no element of this material world that can outstand the potency of Lord Balaram. So please remember him every day. So I will just stop here and ask Asamanda Prabhu to continue with the presentation of Lord Balaram's position.
Omagyana Tamaranda Sivatinandana Salakaya Chakshirumilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatruvascha Kripa Sannibhavitabhikinam Pavanya Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you Mahaprabhu Prabhu. I'll try and follow on from some of the points Mahaprabhu made. Particularly, Mahaprabhu mentioned the identity of Lord Balaram as the original guru. I'd like to read a few verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. from the fifth chapter of the Adileda, verses 4 and 5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. These two, Krishna and Balaram, are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. There's an interesting verse here from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which I'll also read, because as Lord Krishna had his Rasa Lila, so Balaram also has his, and this is from that description. The demigods came and showered flowers on his Rasa Lila, because they know there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Commentary. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilita, chapter 5, verses 4 to 5, which we just read, also states there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram in the following words. Oops, I've already read it actually. Anyway, I'll read it again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Also, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 174, it is stated, the first manifestation of the Bhavava feature of Krishna is Shri Balaramaji. Shri Balaram and Krishna have different bodily colors. But otherwise, Shri Balaram is equal to Krishna in all respects. Lord Krishna glorifies Balaram, who is non-different from himself, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 15, verse 8. You have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. And it's further explained the identity of Lord Balaram. He's actually the second expansion of the Chaturvyuha, the fourfold expansion of the Supreme Person, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So he is Sankarshan. But he serves in different ways. Actually, he's Seshanag. With Vishnu, he's the support of Lord. He's always supporting Lord Vishnu. He's also known as Ananta, which means he's unlimited. But the Lord serves in particular ways, and I'll read further. Balaram, as Sankarshan, serves Lord Krishna, assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow. Dai shishira rupina. Notice how many of these are white in color. Maybe not the next one. Garments. I don't think Krishna wears white. Resting chair. Residence. Probably white marble. Sacred thread. Yeah, yeah. If it's not white, wash it. And throne. He is thus called Lord Shesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a kala, or part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu, as Mahaprabhu mentioned. He serves, and this is about Lord Nityananda, I've skipped a little bit here. Lord Nityananda serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant. This is interesting because these are the This is the relationship between Krishna and Balaram. Balaram has the relationship of friend, but because he's an elder brother, he also has some parental affection as well. Sometimes children will take on the role, particularly if you see an Indian founders, they will take on the role of the parent, look after the younger brothers and sisters. So he is a friend, some degree of parental affection, and also some servitude. These three rasas are there. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. In some editions of the scriptures, the word Lakshana appears as Lakshmana, which means this is demonstrated in his incarnate... What does Lakshana mean? Decoration? Lakshana. Who's the Sanskrit scholar? Secondary characteristic. Lakshana. Sometimes it appears as Lakshmana. As explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ramachandra as his younger brother. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated that suffering. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution. I think he really tried to persuade Lakshman, Lord Ram, not to go to the forest. He did. Gave many arguments. But Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated the suffering. Now, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. When Lord Krishna appeared, he became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Shri Ram and Shri Lakshman, who are plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, entered into them at the time of Krishna's and Balaram's appearance. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as elder or younger brother, but in the scriptures they are described as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansions. There's another quote here from the Chaitanya Bhagavat that explains a little of Balaram's position. In the Krishna Sandarbha 86, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Vasudev refers to the son of Vasudev. His first part, or kala, is Sankarshan or Ananta. As Sankarshan, he is the original form. Svarat means he exists independently. The name Ananta indicates that he is not restricted by space and time. That Shesha has thousands of mouths. That's interesting how Shesha is not restricted by space and time. So it's interesting that even though Krishna and Balaram are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are somewhat different in nature. This is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Tattvam Yaj Jnanam Advayam, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shabhyate. The word here, very interesting, this verse is so interesting because it explains how that substance, the absolute truth, is non-dual. Jnanam Advayam means non-dual. Monism. The same. And yet, he appears as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So similarly, even though Lord Balaram is the same as Lord Krishna, he displays some different characteristics. And I thought it interesting, he is not restricted by time and space. Therefore, he tends to take on sometimes a more contradictory nature. He's harder to understand. As Lord Nityananda, he was an avaduta. We're not quite sure whether Lord Nityananda is married or is a sannyasi. is he a cowherd boy, or is he a kshatriya, as Balaram? There are all these contradictions. It's also hard to pin down whose side he's on. He had a great affection for Duryodhan, who learned the art of club fighting from Lord Balaram. And when the Kauravas and Pandavas began their primary preparations for war, Balaram tried to stop it, as did Lord Krishna, of course. But when he saw that his attempts were going to be unsuccessful, he left on pilgrimage, as Mahaprabhu mentioned. And then he came back. He actually, shortly afterwards, visited Kurukshetra as Bhima and Duryodhan were fighting, and he gave his opinion that he tried to stop them because they were both dear to him. So he tried to stop them, and he gave his opinion that actually they're equal. Therefore, it's a waste of time. And his opinion was, Bhima is stronger in physical strength, and Duryodhan is more skillful, dexterous. But when all his attempts failed, he knew the plan of the Lord. He is the Lord. He's non-different. He left. And we know how that ended. He also has a tendency to become angry at times, and the common reading is that he's naturally got red eyes. You can imagine he's got white skin and his eyes are slightly reddish. But when he becomes angry, the scriptures repeatedly mention his eyes become even redder. As when, actually in that story of Samba, who was married to, I think it's Lakshmana? Lakshmana, yes. I think Lakshmana was Krishna. Lakshmana was Duryodhana's daughter, that's right, yeah. Married to Krishna's son, Samba. He became very angry and began to drag the whole of the city of Hastinapur with his plough. So for Lord Balaram, the plough is also a weapon. So he has somewhat of a fiery temperament. What's also interesting is that actually Balaram was not particularly good at a particular game. Now, how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead be poor at a game? It's interesting how these ambiguities, for the philosophers, they become bewildered. And generally speaking, in philosophy, you can't have a contradiction. That's fair enough. If there's an internal contradiction, it doesn't stand. You must reject it. If A implies not A, then it must be rejected. But actually, when we reach the realm of the absolute truth, there is a different case, because all opposites are perfectly resolved in the absolute. And that actually only enhances the glories of the Supreme Person within the eyes and hearts of the devotees, who are the greatest philosophers. Important principle here. He is unborn, yet he takes birth. And Queen Kunti explains this very eloquently and poetically. As Ananta, he supports all the universes, yet the Lord appears as a small boy stealing butter and feeding it to the monkeys. How is that conceivable? And yet we relish this as devotees. We enjoy that. Again, he's the controller of the entire universe. He can move living entities around like pawns. And yet he's not good at playing chess. This happened during another marriage. The Kshatriyas have glorious marriages. Problem is, there's usually a little bit of fighting. That's the process. This is the marriage of Rukmini's granddaughter, Rochana, to Aniruddha, who was Krishna's grandson. I'll take this up from the middle of the Krishna book. The king of Kalinga was a friend of Rukmi. Rukmi, by the way, is Rukmini's brother. And gave him the ill advice to play chess with Balaram and thus defeat him in a bet. Amongst Kshatriya kings, gambling on chess was not uncommon. If someone challenged the Kshatriya to play on the chessboard, The Kshatriya could not refuse the challenge. This is one of the many codes of chivalry for the Kshatriyas. They couldn't say, I'm too tired, I don't want to fight, I haven't finished my rounds. No excuses could be given, even spiritual ones. We know devotees sometimes. Anyway, that's one of their codes of conduct, because they belong to the noble class. Shri Balaramji was not a very expert chess player. And this was known to the king of Kalinga. So Rukmi was advised to retaliate by the king of Kalinga against the family members of Krishna by challenging Balaram to play chess. I think Rukmi was always disturbed that his sister had married Krishna. Who did he want to marry? Shishupal, oh yes. I think he's definitely a demon, isn't he? Yes, he is. We can be clear on that one. He's definitely one of the bad guys, Shishupal. You can imagine when these things are very delicate marriage arrangements, we know. As soon as there's a marriage arrangement, we all have our opinions, whether it's good or bad, or who this person should marry. Yes. Although not an expert chess player, Shri Balaramji was very enthusiastic in sporting activities. He accepted Rukmini's challenge and sat down to play, betting with gold coins. Balaram first of all challenged with 100 coins, then 1,000 coins, then 10,000 coins. Real money in those days, you see. Each time, Balaram lost and Rukmi was victorious. Shri Balaram's losing the game was an opportunity for the king of Kalinga to criticize Krishna and Balaram. Thus the king of Kalinga was talking jokingly while purposefully showing his teeth to Balaram. I'm not sure, is that an insult in the Indian tradition? I don't know whether you insult one by showing your teeth to them. I don't know, I thought it might be a cultural thing. Anyway, be careful not to show your teeth. Because Balaram was the loser in the game, he was a little intolerant of the sarcastic, joking words and became somewhat agitated. Rukmi also challenged Balaram and made a bet of 100,000 gold coins, but fortunately, this time Balaram won. Imagine the scene. I mean, this is a kind of party going on, festivities, Kshatriyas, very haughty. Imagine the scene here. And of course, Kshatriyas tend to be very haughty, and they're allowed to kind of praise themselves. It's even mentioned, it's alluded to in the Gita, how Arjuna, when he was apologizing because he didn't realize Krishna's position after seeing the universal form, he said, I apologize, because many times you've boasted of your prowess, and I've said to you, yes, you're very truthful, sarcastically. That's how close they were. So then the Kshatriyas tend to have this haughty nature. Nonetheless, out of cunning, Rukmi claimed that Balaram was the loser, and that he himself had won. I'm not sure if it's a technicality on how to play chess, but anyway. Because of this lie, Balaramji became most angry with Rukmi. His agitation was so sudden and great that it appeared like a tidal wave in the ocean on a full moon day. Sometimes you get those tides. I think in the UK there's one tide on a particular full moon that is very big and goes all the way up the Thames, and people wait for that day. So sometimes on particular full moon days the tide is very high and dangerous, like a tsunami. Balaram's eyes are naturally reddish, but when he became agitated and angry, his eyes became more reddish. This time he challenged and made a bet of 100 million coins. get the lottery. This is good stuff. Again, Balaram was the winner, according to the rules of chess. But Rukmi again cunningly claimed that he had won. Rukmi appealed to the princess's presence, and he especially mentioned the name of the king of Kalinga. However, during this dispute, there was a voice from the sky, and it announced that for all honest purposes, Balaram was the actual winner of the game, and that he was being abused, and that the statement of Rukmi that he had won was absolutely false. This is a kind of divine witness. In spite of this divine voice, Rukmi insisted that Balaram had lost, and by his persistence, it appeared that he had death upon his head. Falsely puffed up by the ill advice of his friend, he did not give much importance to the oracle. Yeah, so this is considered an oracle. I think there are various places there were oracles. I know in Greece they had the Oracle of Delphi. And I'm sure there's, my wife will know better, I'm sure there were some who didn't follow the oracle. No, usually they followed it. Okay. Greeks were more intelligent. Rukmi doesn't follow it. He began to criticize Balaramaji. He said, "My dear Balaramaji, you two brothers, cowherd boys only, may be very expert in tending cows. But how can you be expert in playing chess or shooting arrows on the battlefield?" The game of chess obviously wasn't for cowherd men. It was more for the royalty. After all, it's a battle game. These arts are well known only to the princely order. Hearing this kind of pinching talk by Rukmi, and hearing the loud laughter of all the other princes present there, imagine the scene. Lord Balaram became as agitated as burning cinders. He immediately took up his club in his hand, and without further talk, struck Rukmi on the head. From that single blow, Rukmi fell down immediately and was dead and gone. Thus Rukmi was killed by Balaram on that auspicious occasion of Aniruddha's marriage. One can assume two things, I guess. One, that actually killing of some fighting was not inauspicious for Kshatriyas, even at the marriage. But one can also assume that actually killing of bad elements or getting rid of bad elements is not inauspicious, it's auspicious. We might actually consider the relevance to that in the modern world, where actually it's the duty of the leaders to get rid of inauspicious elements in society, and the citizens will be happy. We could consider that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of sympathy shown towards inauspicious elements in society. But this is auspicious. These things are not uncommon in Kshatriya society. Kshatriyas have their own mood. I'll just finish the story. The king of Kalinga, afraid that he would be the next one attacked, fled from the scene. But before he could move more than a few steps, Balaramji immediately captured him. And because the king had always shown his teeth while criticizing Balaram and Krishna, Balaram broke all the king's teeth with his claw. The other princes supporting the king of Kalinga and Rukmi were also captured, and Balaram beat them with his club, breaking their legs and hands. They did not try to retaliate, but thought it wise to run away from the bloody scene. During this strife between Balaram and Rukmi, Lord Krishna did not utter a word, for he knew that if he supported Balaram, Rukmini would be unhappy. And if he said that the killing of Rukmi was unjust, then Balaram would be unhappy. Very diplomatic. Therefore, Lord Krishna was silent on the death of his brother-in-law Rukmi on the occasion of his grandson's marriage. He did not disturb his affectionate relationship with either Balaram symbolic meaning. I'm just behavior on behalf of the Supreme Lord. There are other examples we can just mention quickly. Also, I mean, although Krishna and Balaram are brothers and friends, they have different opinions. Actually, brothers always have different opinions. Yes, even in Vedic astrology, the hand of brothers is a the house of brothers is the house of mild enemies. And amongst Kshatriyas especially. So actually, there are many stories, and there's one interesting story. I'll be very brief with this, but actually, when it came to the marriage of Subhadra, who was present on the altar, of course, then Lord Balaram wanted her to marry Duryodhan again. But Krishna knew that Arjuna had got his mind and heart set on Subhadra. So what he did is he actually, Arjuna dressed up as a sannyasi. Yes, brahmacharis, and don't follow this. he dressed up as a sannyasi. And Balaram naturally invited him. That was the duty of the judges to invite the sannyasi class. He invited him. And at that time, Arjuna and Subhadra set their hearts on each other. And later, of course, Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna. And Balaram was upset. You can imagine how he was upset. He'd actually hosted Arjuna, not realizing who it was. And it had gone on before his eyes over lunch. But it's mentioned how the Supreme Lord Krishna pacified his brother and explained. Actually, it's mentioned he tried to pacify Balaram by falling at his feet, because he's the younger brother, he fell at his feet, and begging him to pardon Arjuna. Krishna convinced Lord Balaram that Subhadra was attached to Arjuna, and thus Balaram became pleased to know that she wanted Arjuna as her husband. The matter was settled, and to please the newly married couple, Lord Balaram arranged to send a dowry consisting of an abundance of riches, including elephants. This is a big dowry. Elephants, chariots, horses, male servants, and maid servants. We'll finish with one verse which really reinforces what Mahaprabhu has said previously. Nayam atma bala hinena labhya. This Vedic injunction means, without the mercy of Balaram, you cannot realize your spiritual identity. It also means, an alternative translation, without spiritual strength, for which Lord Balaram is responsible, you cannot realize your spiritual identity. So let us pray today for spiritual strength. And let us also pray for Lord Baladev's merciful glance, and that his reddish eyes look upon us with affection rather than anger. Lord Balaram, ki jai. I'll now hand over to my godbrother Tatvavit Prabhu, who will conclude the pravachan. Thank you.
So everything that we experience in this world is an expansion of Brahman. But still he's a transcendental person, and we don't see him, aside from seeing him in the deities. We generally don't see him because he's beyond this world. Even Krishna is beyond this world. He's described that way. So it's like not being able to see it. Now we're sitting here in this room on this first floor. We don't see what's going on, say, three stories up. We just don't have that capacity. So seeing a transcendental person, it has to, you have to see with the help of faith and with the eyes of Shastra. Rasmandali mentioned that Balaram is the second body of Krishna. And yet they're one and the same identity, they just have different forms. Prabhupada once explained that we might better understand this easier if we think of our own body. We have expansions, we have limbs, we have the arms and the legs, and on the arms and the legs are the hands, the wrists, the fingers, the toes, the ankles, these things. So when we speak about Krishna expanding into forms that are different from him, it's still the same. It's like that. We have expansions in our own form, which are non-different from us or the body. Anyway, we have the form of Balaram to worship. Prabhupada gave the devotees the worship of Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra in San Francisco. Right around the time of 1970, one of his disciples, Sri Sundar, carved those deities. And it just so happens that's where I joined ISKCON. I was at that, not at the original San Francisco temple, but in 1974. But those deities were the first deities I ever worshipped. And their Rath Yatra that year was the first Rath Yatra attended, and Srila Prabhupada came to that. So it was a very big Rath Yatra. The devotees from all over the West Coast attended, and many, many people in San Francisco. It was very well advertised in the buses. The temple president had arranged that in the trams and in the buses there were invitations to the Rath Yatra in Golden Gate Park. So Prabhupada came to that and had a very big parade. How we get strength from Balaram, Prabhupada gave this advice. He said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna gives us a sort of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. And when we serve the spiritual master and Krishna, Balaram gives us strength to do that. And that service to the spiritual master and Krishna means we acquire the ability to hold the sword of knowledge. We acquire knowledge through Krishna's instruction, and the strength for that, the intelligence for that, comes from Balaram. So when Krishna Balaram temple in Krishna Balaram Mandir was opened in Vrindavan, in 1975, Prabhupada told the devotees that they could get strength from Balaram. They could reveal their mind to him and say, they could pray to him, address him, "My dear sir, please understand that I'm trying to make progress, but these obstacles are in my way, and you can remove these obstacles, you're very strong." So to understand Bhagavad Gita, we should get strength from Balaram. It's helpful not just to think of Krishna when we read Bhagavad Gita, but also think of Balaram, or the spiritual master, and the spiritual master. So we want protection from obstacles and the residents of Vrindavan who are with Balaram directly with him, they also want his protection. The parents of Balaram prayed to him when he came back to Vrindavan, "May you and your brother protect us for a long time." They had so much experience of Krishna and Balaram directly protecting them, saving them from demons and so on. And both were equally powerful, but still Balaram took the role of helping Krishna. He knew that Krishna was really, really powerful. But he didn't want to leave him alone. He wanted to protect him. Even his parents wanted Balaram, as the older brother, to help protect Krishna. So Balaram acted as Krishna's protector and dearest friend. And he exhibits how to render the attitude, how to render service to Krishna. Just as an example of how he protects Vrindavan, I'll just mention a little bit about the pastime of the Dainakasura demon. The boys wanted to taste the fruits of the palm trees, and they encouraged Balaram and Krishna to defeat the ass demon. So Balaram at that time exhibited the strength of an elephant. They went into the field and he shook the palms with his arms, which started to make the fruits drop, indicating that soon all these fruits would be available to the residents of Vrindavan to eat. And the donkey demon came rushing up. He heard the sounds and he kicked Balaram and made some sound and kicked him again. And then of course Balaram threw him up in the palm tree and killed him. And other demon donkeys attacked too. But they were thrown up in the palm trees too, and some palm trees fell over. So soon the ground was covered with these fruits that the boys wanted to eat, and the fruits were strewn about. And that way the people got to eat the fruits, and the cows got to graze on the grass in that forest without any fear of the demons. So Balaram exhibited that kind of protection to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He holds the plow, he makes the land produce with the help of the cows and horses. The last thing I want to mention is the descent of Balaram, since his appearance today, we'll talk about his descent for a minute. You know, Krishna was preceded by Balaram. Baladev came to purify the womb of Devaki because the previous six sons had actually been representations of the bad qualities of the mind. Lust and greed and pride and illusion and lamentation and fear. So when Devaki had Balaram in her womb, she could understand this is a divine child also. And even Kamsa could sense that Balaram's potency was very, very great. And he thought, you know, maybe I've been tricked by that voice in the sky that said I was going to be killed by the eighth child. Maybe this is really the one, and I've been tricked. But Yogamaya was ordered by Krishna to arrange the transfer of Balaram to the womb of Rohini. So Kamsa didn't interfere with Balaram, and he was born under the protection of Nanda Maharaj in Gokula. Then Garga Muni came, the family guru, and he told Rohini that the child was actually that of her husband, Devaki. Apparently felt a miscarriage, and that was the account of how she lost the child. But then Rohini had the child in her womb because of this transfer, and Garga Muni reassured her this was actually the child of your husband. So at the name-giving ceremony, he named the child Ram, because he gives all pleasure. Ram means one that gives pleasure. Like when we say Hare Ram, we're chanting the name of Ram. Ram is the one who gives pleasure, primarily to God, first and foremost to Srimati Radharani, but also to all the devotees and associates of the Lord. And in the case of Ram, he had a very beautiful appearance. So his appearance, a white complexion, transcendental lord, that gave pleasure. His body was like crystal, the color of crystal. And referring to the immense strength of the child Garga Muni predicted that he would also become known as Balaram. Balaram means strength. So that's the end of our presentation. Now there's an audition. So I think we can start that on schedule at 10 o'clock. Any comments or questions?
It was interesting in the Kubinina, in the Mayapur, they were telling the whole story that Shri Prabhupada had installed the deities, and then based also Krishna Balada. And when the Krishna installed Krishna Balada, he said, now we have also Krishna Balada here, which is a very good figure. He said, in my
he said Krishna Balaram would be good for you when he installed the deity. That's it. Yeah, Prabhupada had the interests of different parts of the world in mind. He took the sufferings of the conditioned souls to heart and he wanted to help them. Like you said, there's so many inauspicious elements in society. The deities, the worship of Krishna, that will change people from inauspicious to auspicious. Thank you, Ravana.
This game of chess that the exactly the same chess that we play for the Vedic game, or is this a Western version?
I don't know whether the it is the same game. I mean, one could assume that it would be called a bishop. You don't have bishops.
Maybe not the word knight, but in their own
language. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what the Indian or Sanskrit word is for that. It's that we call a bishop.
Yeah,
no.
Bishop.
So you have the king, queen, bishop, knight, rook. Yeah. What's it called?
Bishop.
I read that Bhaktivinoda Kumar Swami mentioned that there was no queen. Instead of queen, there was general. Because queen doesn't supposed to be on the field.
I think there were examples of things on that sometimes.
Yeah, in Jhansi there was a famous lady who
Queen of Jhansi.
Yeah, she was against the British and she wanted independence. And her husband died and the British government wouldn't recognize her son. Because the son had been adopted. So they said, this is not a legitimate kingship, so we're going to take over. And she said, wait a minute. And she got all the allies. And then when Prabhupada went to Jhansi, all over the city, you saw these pictures of the Queen of Jhansi, which fought against the British. Sometimes.
I think Madhuri was called in the some story, sometimes the ladies like that chapter. Satyabhama also.
She went to the battlefield.
After he had gone to get the Nikaraja decree, and on his way back,
that's right. That's right. I mean that she was there, right?
And she liked it a few years away. When Vinny was driving the chariot, when Krishna was fighting with all those people that were chasing after him, Vinny took the chariot.
So there's some exceptions, but still it's possibly a good point. potato chips might have been worse.
It's interesting, it's one of the most long-standing games and sophisticated, still one of the sophisticated games there is.
Yeah, it takes a lot of concentration to win. This summer, the world champion defended his title. He's from India. His name is Vishwanath. His name of Krishna. Vishwanathanand, he successfully defended his title. He won 120 million euros. Yeah, so that's we have all these personal pastimes. We understand God's a person. That's all these activities as a person. Quite an advanced conception, advanced theology. Yes,
I just wondered about the Kshatriyas and the related principles.
Do the Kshatriyas gamble and get intoxicated? There are different rules for different environments. And they're described in the Shastra, like in the laws of Manu. We have, just like we have our law book, Sanatana Goswami, Gopalbhatta Goswami compiled that, guidelines for the Vaishnavas in Lord Chaitanya's line. So there are different rules for different people. Yes.
I still heard that Sri Prabhupada mention that, especially on his appearance day, Prabhupada is very merciful. Especially on his appearance day, he's most merciful because he tends to intoxicate himself with the balloon. He's especially his mercy to take it. He has intoxication because of very merciful.
He's drinking the Baruni beverage and becomes a little intoxicated. So he's very, very open and magnanimous.
My question, we meant to follow the four ancient principles. Are we allowed to get intoxicated by Baruni tonight? Or do we have to take just a very little
special mercy?
Let's see if we have a word. We'll have the nectar from the other ship. You can drink as much as you want. Bhaktivinoda Manada having a gulab jamun eating contest after the feast.
That's the office of the
Alright, thank you very much. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada.